Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message. The Gospel of John, chapter 11. I love this chapter. There's so much rich word, rich revelation in John chapter 11. It is the story of Lazarus. Let us go to verse 43 and verse 44. John 11, verse 43 and 44. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth. We could end right there and preach the rest of the day. That when Jesus says something, it has to happen. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, "Loose him and let him go." I want to preach for a few moments on the subject, resurrected, now what? Resurrected, now what? Turn to your neighbor and tell him, resurrected, now what are you going to do? You may be seated. I love Jesus for a billion reasons. I love Jesus because he saved me. He's healed me. Come on, I thought I'd get some better support right there. I love Jesus because he's delivered me. Anybody delivered out there? Anybody used to have a habit that you had to do every day that cost you a lot of money? He's a delivering God. I love God because he delivered me. I love God because he gave me a wonderful family, a wonderful wife. I love Jesus because of what he does in this church every time that we gather. I love Jesus because of what he does on a daily basis in my life. I love Jesus because of the things that I don't know that he's doing, but he still does them anyway. Just understand this. We praise God, and some of us praise God pretty radically for the things that we know. But I'm here to tell you, for everything you know that Jesus has done for you, there's 100 other things that we don't even know that Jesus has done. If you would have known what the devil had planned for you the first 3.5 months of 2018, that when Jesus intervened, those plans came to naught, we would have to take you out of this building. You'd be shouting so loud, dancing so hard, running so fast. And so I thank Jesus for everything he's done. But the one thing that I'm grateful the most for is that he is a resurrected king. Because it is without the resurrection, there is no resurrection, there is no eternity for Brandon. Without the resurrection, there is no healing, there is no health, there is no deliverance. Without the resurrection, a lot of the great scriptures in the Bible would have never been penned. I doubt Paul would be able to say, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," because it is the resurrection that proves that Jesus has power, all power, in all three levels, in heaven, on earth, and below in hell. It is the resurrection that kicked the devil in the teeth and let him know once and for all, everything you did to try to stop the Son of God and the Lamb of God from coming to this earth, it didn't work. Everything you did to try to stop him from going to the cross, it did not work. Everything you did trying to keep him in the grave, it did not work. But when the blood began to flow back into his veins, when his lungs began to breathe air again, and he sat up in that grave, the devil knew he was a defeated foe. The devil should have stopped him when he had the chance. And so what am I most grateful for on this post-Sunday resurrection? I'm here to tell you, I'm grateful that Jesus got up, because Jesus getting up that one time means that we can get up every time. Jesus getting up that one time means we might fall 7 times, but blessed be God, I can rise up 7 times. It doesn't matter what I face. There is a resurrection. And we are given, we're given an idea. We're given a rehearsal. We're given a run through of the resurrection here in John chapter 11. For those of you that have grown up in church, you understand that Mary, Martha, which were the sisters of Lazarus, and Lazarus, they were the greatest friends that Jesus had on this earth. And when you understand that this friendship was not just acquaintances, it wasn't just a click on Facebook, but that there was real relationship and that there was real covenant here. And as I was looking toward this text this week, my mind just began to run that Jesus was a pretty lonely person on this earth. That there was a lot of people who he had grown up with that now had now turned their back. The Bible said that he was a stranger in his own country, that they would not receive him, and he had to leave. And so the friendships that Jesus develops with this family of two sisters and Lazarus becomes very important, because it shows us from the very beginning that to have the resurrection of Jesus become real in your life, it has to be birthed in relationship. That there has to be something there that when Lazarus dies, that it's one of the few times where we see Jesus in so much pain and agony that he literally weeps. It's the shortest verse in all of the Bible, yet it contains so much power, because Jesus weeps over those that he is in relationship with. And so Lazarus falls sick, and Jesus is doing what Jesus did for 3.5 years. He is going around teaching. He's going around healing and bringing deliverance and casting out devils and having discourse and dialogue with the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And along the way, he is fulfilling every prophecy that is in the Old Testament. And here he is coming off of one of the greatest times in his ministry. And Mary and Martha have sent word to Jesus that Lazarus, your friend, is sick, and it's getting very serious. And Jesus pauses to hear what the messenger would say, and then he continues on doing what he's doing. Have you ever felt like you were close to Jesus, but when you cried out to him, he didn't react like you thought he was going to react? Maybe I'm just preaching to myself. That I prayed a prayer on Monday, and he didn't answer it on Monday like I thought he would. That I worshiped on Sunday, and for some reason he didn't react in my moment of need like I thought he would. But I'm here to tell you that God sits high and he looks low. Isaiah would tell us prophetically that his ways are higher than ours, and that his thoughts are higher than ours. That he reacts and he does things in a different way. Let me remind you that Jesus has already been to the end. When the messenger comes and tells Jesus about Lazarus, Jesus is Alpha and Omega. He has already stood at the grave of Lazarus. He has already seen them unwrap Lazarus. I'm here to tell you, whenever we pray to Jesus, Jesus has already been at the answer, because he is the answer. And so when Jesus responds to my prayer, whether it's wait, whether it's hold on, whether it's I'll be there in a minute, I know this is true, that whatever Jesus does, he's doing it because he knows perfectly what is going to happen. And if I've got to wait 4 days, I'll wait 4 days. If I've got to go through a little valley, I'll go through a little valley, because I know at the end of my story, there's going to be a Jesus standing at the foot of the grave of something that I thought was dead, but it has come back to life. I'm encouraging somebody today. What you thought was dead is not dead. It's just sleeping. You say, well, the lungs aren't pumping any air anymore. I'm here to tell you, Jesus is going to do what he said he's going to do, and you've just got to give him time and have enough faith. One of our young ladies last night, while she was ministering at U Church, a young adults church, she said this. She said, it is in the season of waiting that my faith grows the most. When she said that, I said, that's not true. But it is true. Because it is in that season that you've got the choice. That in the 4 days, I'm either going to get less faith or I'm going to get more faith. An immature believer says, God, I want it, and I want it now. You've seen those commercials. It's my money and I want it now. See, a lot of us are acting like 2-year-olds in the faith.
And when we ask for something on Sunday morning at 9:45, we start stomping our feet at 9:50 and say, God, I told you this is what I wanted. Why haven't you given it to me? But for those of us that are mature in the faith like Paul, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I understood as a child, I reasoned as a child. But when I became a man or a woman of faith, I put away childish things. And I said, God, if it takes 4 days, by God, that's fine. It's going to take 4 days. But I know that at the end of this process, that Lazarus is going to be sitting next to me just as good as he ever was. I'm talking to somebody that you've been waiting on God. I'm talking to somebody that you've been praying to God. I'm here to tell you, he still is the God of resurrection. These are not fairy tales. These are not fables from yesteryear. These are the realities that God was showing us in Scripture, what he was capable of. So in 2018, we wouldn't have to fret. We wouldn't have to doubt. We wouldn't have to fear. We wouldn't have to worry. But we could rest in the fact that what God said he would do, he's going to do. My prayer for you is that you would enter into the rest of the Lord. Enter into the rest of the Lord. Martha and Mary, two very diverse personalities. You see it in the story where Jesus is in their home and Martha is busy working and making sure that Jesus' physical needs are taken care of, that he has food, that he has rest, that he has something to drink. And Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus as he converses and as he teaches. And I think it's very important that we understand that there is a physical thing that we have to do and there's a spiritual thing that we have to do. And when we meet the needs of Jesus physically and spiritually, he can raise up our dead brothers. See, there's a lot of us that are so spiritually minded but no earthly good. And so we're good as long as we're in prayer and in worship and it's Sunday morning. But when we go out into the real world and we're facing secular issues, we don't know how to bring the Jesus from Living Way or the New Testament onto our job and into our families. Then there's so many of us that serve, and we show up at church and we do everything we need to do, and we tithe and we offer and we do all the physical things, but there is no spirituality. We've got to understand that we are physical bodies. We are a body with a soul that is governed and hopefully by a spirit. And so when I live my life according to the way that God wants me to, I can work a job, I can live on this earth in a very secular field, but I can be so in tune with the spirit that it doesn't matter where I'm at. You put me in church, I'll praise with the saints, but you put me out in the world and I'll change the world with what God has placed in me, and I can bring and resurrect the things that are dead back to life. So Mary and Martha. Martha is at the grave of Lazarus. The cemetery was not within the walled, was not within the city walls. The cemetery was outside. And so there are mourners that are still out mourning after the funeral is over and the stone has been placed. Martha is out there with the paid mourners, with family, with friends, and they are crying over the fact that Lazarus is dead. But can I tell you why they're really crying? That Jesus didn't show up. Because death is a part of life. We're going to go through some times where people are going to be taken from us. Things are going to be taken from us. And a lot of times life, we get used to life. But what they couldn't get used to is God. We thought we were tighter than we are. Lord, we've let you stay in our house. We fed you. We gave you a place to lay your head after you told all the disciples that there was no such thing, that foxes have holes and birds have nests, but you don't have a place. Jesus, we gave you that place. And I'm here to tell you, Martha is not crying over the fact that Lazarus is dead. She had shed some tears, but she's really crying over the fact that he's not there. Mary is not even at the cemetery. Mary's at home on Instagram. Mary's at the house by herself. Lazarus is in the grave. Martha's out crying and weeping and mourning, and Mary's all by herself. We handle the way that Jesus treats us in very different ways. There's a lot of us that when we don't get the answer we want, we just put our feet down further in faith and say, God, I don't like that answer, but I'm going to continue serving until I get the answer. God, I'm waiting. I'm here. I'm going to make sure. And Martha was still positioned, even though it might have been accidentally. She's still positioned at the place where if Jesus does show up, he can do something. But Mary has already checked out. She has already moved on. She is already on to the next thing. Jesus comes and shows up after days of delay.
He tells his disciples that Lazarus is only sleeping. And finally, they say, well, if he's sleeping, there's no reason for us to go there. And finally, Jesus has to say, Lazarus, my friend, is dead, and I am glad. Jesus is pretty hardcore in this moment. First of all, he ignored the cry from his friends. He did not show up when they wanted him to. I'm here to tell you, most of the times that I've called on God, he has not shown up how I wanted him to, where I wanted him to, and when I wanted him to. But I will tell you, at the end of the process, he showed up in his way, on his time, in his place, and hindsight 2020, the way he did it, the place he did it, the time he did it was way better than if I had chosen. He says he's dead and I'm glad. That's cold, Jesus. That's your best friend, Jesus. You're glad that he's dead. I'm glad for your sakes that he's dead. Because Jesus is about to teach them the resurrection revelation. He's about to teach them the resurrection principle. I'm talking to somebody today that the whole reason that Lazarus was put in the grave, Jesus could have sent his word. Come on, we saw him do that. He could have sent his word to the house of Lazarus. He could have sent his disciples. He could have stopped everything he was doing and ran, sprinted to Lazarus' house and raised him up before he was dead. But Jesus just sat on the revelation because he said, if I were to send him the word and he were to raise up, he said, it would be a great thing. But he said, if I let that man die, if I let them bury him, if I let him stink, if I let them start talking about, well, Jesus can't do it, if I start letting them question my ability and my love for them, and then I show up and I bring him back to life, he said, it's going to change Lazarus' life, Mary's life, Martha's life, all the mourners' life, the city of Bethany's life, city of San Antonio's life, Living Way's life, your life, my life. He said, if I just wait just a moment, I'm going to teach them the resurrection principle that no matter what it looks like today, if you will call on the name of Jesus, he will show up in the nick of time. It might look like he's late, but he's never late. He's always on time. Jesus walks up onto the scene and Martha says, Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus begins to have a conversation. Let's go to this conversation now in John chapter 11, verse 20, I believe. Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary, there she is. She sat still in the house. She's on Instagram, checking her likes, checking who's followed her. Verse 21, Martha said unto Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, whatsoever you will ask of God, God will give it to thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise and live again. Those are the words you want from Jesus. Because in the midst of agony and tears and loss and mourning and grief, when Jesus says unto her, thy brother shall rise and live again, Martha should have just, all right, let's go eat. You want to do this now or after supper? You want to go tell Mary, or are we going to do this now? And when you get a word from God like that, it ought to put so much faith in you. That when people come and talk you out of it, well, maybe that's not what Jesus meant. No, that's what he meant. He will rise and live again. He is going to breathe. He is going to step out of that grave. But here we go. Martha's bouncing between faith and flesh. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. No, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said he will live. He will rise. He will live again. Jesus said unto her, here's the revelation. We look, and you can tell we treat it this way in the Western church. We look at the resurrection as an event. We look at the resurrection as a place, as an experience. The reason this building had more people in it last week is because the resurrection is an event to them. And we commemorate events. Come on now. Your birthday is an event from a day that you were born. Your anniversary commemorates your marriage and your wedding. But the mistake that we make is we think that the resurrection was a place and a thing that happened. But I love what Jesus says. Jesus says, I am the resurrection. Oh, you ought to get excited about that. Jesus said, the resurrection is not a place. The resurrection is not an event in time. The resurrection is not something to be commemorated once a year. The resurrection is a person, and I am that person. What does that mean? When Paul would say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh, my God. What it means is, I've got the resurrection. When he would say, in him I live, move, and have my being. It is in the resurrection that I live, I move, I have my being. It's not an idle Sunday in April. It's not a Sunday in the spring. When I met Jesus, I met the resurrection. When I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I have the resurrection, and nothing can keep me down. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I know the resurrection. I am the resurrection. I am the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Then he asked this, believest thou this? One word answer, yes or no? If she answers no, he stays in the grave. How sad is it that if she had answered that question wrong, that resurrection would show up at the tomb. That resurrection would show up to bring Lazarus back out of the grave. And if she had said no, Jesus would have said, all right, I'm going on to my next assignment. But thank be to God that she said, I believe that you are. Because when you say yes to resurrection, that means that there's a power on the inside of you. Almost every service you hear somebody say, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead now dwells in us. What are we talking about? The spirit of resurrection. It is the same spirit that caused Jesus after 3 days to get out of the grave. It's the same spirit in Jesus that caused a man to get out of the grave after 4 days. I'm here to tell you, it doesn't matter what's in the grave. What matters is what's in you. It doesn't matter what's in the tomb. What matters is what's in you. And as for me, as for this house, as for you and your family, we've got Jesus on the inside of us. We've got resurrection. Everything I touch comes back to life. Every place I step into is full of life. Believest thou this? Believest thou this? Jesus weeps. Jesus came all the way. He said, I'm so glad that Lazarus died. Here's something that you need to understand. Jesus let Lazarus die because he said, if you can't believe that I can resurrect him, what makes me think that you'll believe that I can resurrect myself? See, it had nothing to do with Lazarus. It had nothing to do with what was in the tomb. It had to do with the Jesus that showed up that Martha released to do what Jesus wanted to do. Can I encourage you today, when you go back to your homes, your family, and your jobs, it is our task and assignment to release resurrection into everything that is connected to us. What does that mean? That Jesus wants to heal. Jesus wants to set it free, the captives. Jesus wants to anoint. Jesus wants to empower. But he's waiting on somebody at Living Way. He's waiting on somebody on the second to back row, or he's waiting on the man standing on the platform to say, I believe that resurrection is on the inside of me because I've got Jesus and I release resurrection. So Jesus steps back. Verse 43. And when he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. I have to preach this every time I preach right there. Every time I read that text. Resurrection has to be assigned. Resurrection has to be specific. See, when you pray to God and you declare and you prophetically begin to pray, you need to assign resurrection to that need. Name, put a name on it. Assign it to something specific in your life. And I love that Jesus is so full of life that if he had not assigned that resurrection to Lazarus, every grave in Bethany would have opened up. Let's be honest, every grave on the face of the earth would have opened up. And they would have had people trying to claw their way out of their tomb. But Jesus said, I'm going to deal in the specific place that Martha wants me to deal in. And so Lazarus, the stone has been rolled away. I need you to get up. Why? Because I'm teaching a resurrection revelation that once you get up and come out of that grave, they'll believe that I can get up and come out of my grave. And we've seen dramas. We've done the dramas where Lazarus comes walking out. But Lazarus didn't come walking out. Lazarus came. The Bible said he was bound. Hands, feet, with a napkin over his mouth. Resurrected, not free. Resurrected, life flowing through his body. Every organ in his body has come back to life. Everything is working in his body, but he is still bound. Is that not the state of the church as we see it? Resurrected, but still bound. We've talking about the life, but we still ain't free. Talking about how good Jesus is, but we're still broke. Talking about the healer, but we're still sick. Come on now. Talking about how great Jesus is, but we're still having trouble on our marriage and at our jobs and with our children. I'm here to tell you, what good is resurrection if you're going to live bound? I'm here to free somebody today. You say, isn't it God's job to free? No, no, no. It's God's job to resurrect. It's the people's job to free. The reason why we want you to come to Living Way is because we're going to give access to God to resurrect anything in your life. But it is up to us and every one of our pastors, every one of our leaders, and every one of our ministers that once God resurrects you, we're going to work on freeing you. We're going to make sure that your feet go every place that God wants them to go. We're going to make sure that your hands do everything that God wants them to do. And we're going to make sure that your mouth says everything that God wants it to say. Resurrected, now what? We're here to free you. Stand on your feet. We're here to free you. I'm glad that Martha was there and Lazarus had enough friends that had stuck around for the show. Because Jesus steps in and does what I always say he's going to do. He does the impossible. Remember, Jesus steps up, move the stone. Why didn't Jesus move the stone? He created the stone. Yeah, he could have moved it with a wrinkle of his nose. But man's the one who put the stone there. Oh, can I just preach that for about 20 seconds? That God will use the same people that put you in the box. God will use the same people that laid you to rest. God will use the same people that put you in the corner. God will use the same people that were discriminatory against you. And he will say, you're the one who did that to him. Now you're going to be the one that undoes that to him. Move the stone away. God could have moved the stone, but the people could do it. Move it away. Lazarus come forth. That's only Jesus can do that. Martha can't do it. Mary can't do it. The pastor can't do it. The preacher can't do it. The bishop can't do it. The apostle, only Jesus. He comes hopping out. Now loose that man and let him go. Look around you real quick. Real quick, look around you. All the way around you. Just spin a circle real quick. Look around you. Do you trust them? I'm serious. Do you trust them that when you're resurrected, that they're going to loose you? I'm serious. Are you sitting next to the right people? Who were you hanging out with last night?
You might be resurrected. You might be hanging out with people that not only will not free you, but are wrapping you up in more things. Listen, I'm here to tell you, you better get a new posse to run around with, because when God puts some resurrection on you and in you, you are going to need somebody to loose you. I think it's Luke chapter 5. They tear off the roof. You got some friends that'll tear off the roof for you? You got some friends that'll lower you down? You got some friends that'll deal with the cussing crowd? You got some friends that will say, I'm not leaving until my friend gets touched. I'm not leaving. I brought him to Jesus so that he can be healed, but I'm going to do the possible to get him the resurrection. Resurrection, now what? I'm opening this altar right now for those that have been resurrected. You've got the life of Jesus pulsating through your veins, but you need somebody to bring you out of the grave clothes. That untie. Listen, there's three things that Jesus talks about: the feet, the hands, the mouth. That's where you go, what you do, and what you say. There's a lot of us that have Jesus on the inside, but we ain't going the right places. We can't stand on our own two feet. We're not doing the right things. We're not saying the right thing. But I'm here to tell you, 60 seconds in this altar, we're going to free you. We're going to take off the napkin off your mouth. We're going to make sure that you can walk. We're going to make sure that you can do what God has told you to do. God bless you, my brother. God bless these families. God bless you, Brother Armando. Here we go. Hallelujah. Resurrected. I know these people. They're resurrected. My feet back together.